lost without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet and my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began.
Are you here? do for the youth choir and everything. Is this thing on, guys? It said number four on the thing, but number two is the mic that came to it, I think. But anyway, if not, I'll just stay close here. I'll just yell real loud on the two. It doesn't matter to me. Man, I'm glad to be here this morning. And Scotty almost got a call to say, hey, buddy, I got nothing. I've got nothing for Sunday morning. Up until yesterday morning, I had the thought. I'm getting a lot of echo up here, Ryan. I had the thought that I wanted to bring out, but I didn't have the scripture to go with it. And I started to panic. You know, it was one of those times like Mateo was talking about where there was some silence going on there. I didn't know where I was going to be, what I was going to do, but I knew what I wanted to talk about. And I couldn't find it. Well, yesterday morning I sat down and actually stumbled upon the scripture. So if you got your Bible with you, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Now, if for those of you that have heard me before, you know, and my wife and son will tell you, my mind don't work like everybody else's mind works. I mean, I'm a little bit different. And when I started looking at this, I stumbled upon the scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, and I'm going to read verse number 29 and 30. Verses 29 and 30. If you'd like to stand for just a second while we read this and give you a rest, because I'm going to keep you sitting for a long time. No, you know better than that. You know better than that. But verses 29 and 30 says, "And the fear of God was on all the kingdom of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest." All about, amen. Y'all can go home now. That's all we need to hear. God is good, and he wiped everybody out, and they had rest. All right, is that what we need? No, let's pray for a second. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day and for your many blessings and all the things that you've given us. God, we just thank you that Lord, there's never been a time that you've not been faithful. Lord, you're always there for us. You take care of us, God. You watch over us, Lord. And everything, God, that you do for us, we're just thankful for that. Thank for the reading of your word this morning, Lord. And thankful, God, that you do give us rest. And we ask these things in thy name. Amen. You may be seated. But normally what I do is I start at the back, and then I go to the front, and I follow myself back to the end again. Amen. That's the way I like to look at it. But when we see this right here, it says, "So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about." Boy, that's a good place to be in, when God has given you that rest, and everything is going good in your life, and that's how Christian life is. Is that not right? Amen. Everything's just peachy. Everything's just rosy. We don't have any battles. We don't have any problems. Nothing goes wrong for us, does it? But let's look right here in verse number 1 of chapter number 20 and see how we got to where we were at there. "And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them the other beside Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazen Tamar, which is in Engedi.' And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." Now, when I read that, I thought, you look and you see Jehoshaphat there. He's sitting in the promised land. And here comes some people to him and said, "Jehoshaphat, we got three armies. They have crossed that Dead Sea, and they're on our side of the water, and they're coming to destroy us." Now, when you look at that, and if you study that back, they were only the Ammonites and the Midianites I wrote the name because it doesn't say it, but the Mehunites. So it sounds like that Jehoshaphat's fixing to get eat up with some ites right here. Yeah. They're coming. And if you look at that, they're about 3 days out. They're about 3 days from being where Jehoshaphat's at. So I'm thinking in my mind, what would you think Jehoshaphat's going to jump up and do? Sounds like they're coming to war, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because if you study this back, these were the people that God told the children of Israel not to destroy earlier when they were conquering. It says that they turned from it. We'll read there. verse number 10 in the chapter says, "And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them." So these are three groups of people that the Israelites did not destroy when they came out of Egypt. And now they're coming to war against them. So if I'm Jehoshaphat, man, I'm getting out my spears. I'm having some guys get those things sharpened up. I'm putting new tips on my arrows. I'm stringing up my bow. I'm getting ready to go because it sounds like we're going to be in a fight. But look at verse number 3, what Jehoshaphat does. It says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Jehoshaphat gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before them a new court." So instead of doing all that, what did Jehoshaphat do? He prayed. He got everybody together. He said, "We're going to pray about this." Now I'm thinking these people that are around him, we're going to pray. You know, they're like 3 days away from being here. And we're going to sit down, we're going to fast and pray and wait on answers from the Lord. How many of us have sought an answer from God and it seems like forever that it's coming? I've been there. I was there this week because I knew I had to preach this morning, and I thought about the thought that I had. Chris said, "You got a thought?" I said, "Well, not really, but if I had one, it would be the battle." And we're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle right now. We're in a battle with everything that's going on around us. If we don't agree with someone else, then we hate them. Right. It seems like the world is trying to creep in on everything that we as Christians do. And as we go in day in and day out, we're in a battle to hold on to our faith. And I thought about Jehoshaphat, and I stumbled upon this actually studying something else. But I looked at it, and I thought, man, we're going to pray? These people are coming, we're going to pray? So that's what Jehoshaphat did. He called the people together. Verses 6 through 9. We're going to read about Jehoshaphat's prayer here. "And said, O Lord, our God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of heaven then, of heaven? And in thy name, and in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy father forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as a sword of judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help." You know, you look at that prayer, I see a couple of different things there. Jehoshaphat, number one, has faith in God's power. Did you see what he said there?
Yeah,
in the verse, "And in thy hand there is power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee." Jehoshaphat's already praying that victory. He's already praying that victory. It's there because he knows that his God has the power to take care of the situations that's coming upon him. And then in verse 7, he's got a complaint though. He said, verse 11 and 12, we'll skip down to that. Verse 11 and 12, he's got a complaint about it. He said, Behold, I say how they reward us to come and cast us out of thy possession whence thou hast given us. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Jehoshaphat talks about those people that are coming. He says, you know, we spared them, but you see how they're wanting to treat us. They're coming to destroy us. So he's praying with his complaint, and he's got one request in that complaint. He says, we don't know what to do, and we don't know how to handle this, but our eyes are upon you. We ever had those times in our life when we don't know what to do, where to go, where we need to go, who can we call on to help? You call on your friend, call on somebody, but we call on God. And if you have that faith and confidence in God that Jehoshaphat had there, we can get things done. We can see things done. If we look on down through here, after Jehoshaphat calls everybody together and the impending doom that's coming upon them, and they're praying and fasting, then verse number 14, if you look right there, it says, then on Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattai, a Levite, and the sons of the Asherah, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. I don't know why that they had to name people like that, why they can't be called Bob, Joe, and whatever. But anyway, I did the best I could on those names. But you see that? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the midst of the congregation. Verse 15, and he says, and he said, hearken, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. After all that praying and fasting that was going on there, he says, the battle's not yours, but it's God's. Don't be afraid. I want to tell you today that whatever battle that we're facing, it's not yours anyway. It's not ours anyway. It's God's to fight for us, and he will fight for us. Look at verse 16. It says, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Amen. One thing I was looking at here, you know, they've got that promise. The prophet comes in and he says, don't be afraid. Tomorrow go out and fight. Be still. You don't have to fight, because God's got this for you. Look at all that. And I'm thinking, these people, what did it say? Tomorrow? So even when we get that assurance in our heart, sometimes if we have to wait, what starts to happen? I think that doubt might start creeping in when we have to wait a little bit. You know, and I thought about how these people must have felt. You know, they know that the armies are coming. And then the prophet comes and said, God's got this, but wait till tomorrow. He's going to get it tomorrow. You know, I've prayed a lot of times and thought about things battles that I'm in, and tried to work it out in my own mind while I was in that time of waiting for God to come through and handle it myself. And guess what I'd usually do? I usually mess things up. You know, I try to get out from and under the cloud and get out in front of God. And he's saying, wait. He told them, he said, be still, because God's got this. Don't worry about the battle. God's going, all you're going to do is go stand and watch. And Jehoshaphat, verse number 18, after they heard this, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Judah fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kenites, and the children of the Kenites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They already started praising for the victory. They already got excited and started to have church. When we're in that time and we're facing that battle, what do we like to do most of the time? Go sit back under the tree somewhere and sit there and you wait. Somebody comes up and says, so how's it going? Well, let me tell you, it's not going too good. I pray, and I know God's got this, but I'm having to wait on him right now. These people didn't do that. They were already, it said, with a loud voice. I remember growing up in church as a kid, and you don't hardly see this anymore, but we had, at the church that I grew up in, we had an altar. We had an altar prayer at the start of every service. Anybody ever remember those? When you had to sing a song, everybody come down and shake hands. And the roar that would fill the church When everybody was up there, now we're afraid if we get called on to pray, we're scared to death. Well, let alone somebody else in the congregation start praying out loud with you. These people were excited about this victory that was fixing to come their way that God had promised them. And they already started claiming that victory and praising. So during this time of their tribulation and the battle that they're going through in their minds, whatever it could be, because, you know, I would be thinking, what are we going to do now? I mean, he says just wait, but how's this going to happen? How's this going to work when the armies are coming toward us and the prophet's saying, God's got it. You just got to be still and watch this. No, they didn't sit around and think about those things. They started praising God for the victory that was coming. How much better would we be if we praise God while we're in those battles? And not just after the battle's over and we've got the victory, then we let somebody know. I think that they were running around saying, hey, God's got this victory. He's going to take care of us. And then the neat thing that I looked at when I read this and they've got their assurance and they're praising God, we get to see God's plan in action in the next few verses. And this is just exactly how God works. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Judah. Believe in the Lord your God, so ye shall be established. Believe his prophets, so ye shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of the holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I read that and I thought, man, we're going into a battle, but we're not taking, it don't say anything about the weapons.
Right.
You know, maybe they had them, but you know, in the line of work I'm in, at the sheriff's office, if we go to serve a warrant, and that's the closest thing I can think of in my mind, we don't just go with one person. We take a bunch of people. And we've got all that we can get to go with us. We've got guns. Some guys will have rifles. We've got our body armor on, and we're ready to go into battle. And the guy with the long gun, he's usually in the front, and when he knocks on the door, he's the first guy you're going to see is an AR pointed into your door. That's how we go into battle. These guys here, but what did he say they put up front? And said they put singers in the front of the army. They put the singers up there, and they're to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, I read a few things about going into battle, and most of the things that I read and studied yesterday said that when right before the battle ensues is the quietest time that you'll ever have. Because you don't want to give away your position, and you're listening for the position of the opponent over there. But can you see these guys lined up going into battle against these people, and they're coming down the road saying, praise the Lord for his mercy and earth forever. And they just keep marching. All the singers that are there singing, praise the Lord for his mercy. Do you think that they knew they were coming? Look at verse number 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped, everyone helped to destroy the other. So as they're coming down the road screaming and singing the mercy, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever, the Ammonites and the Moabites started fighting against the children of Seir, and they wiped all them out. And then the Ammonites and the Moabites, did you see that? They turned on each other and killed them. So there is no battle that the children of Judah are going to have to fight in. God has a plan when we're in those battles. And when we're there in those battles, God's plan is going to work if we'll let it. But we want to get in the way. I want to get in the way. I want to make it go my way. You know, sometimes when we've got that heavy burden and we bring it down here and we lay it on the altar, and Scotty did this in an illustration with the kids one night. I'll never forget, he had a garbage bag and he dumped it out up here. And then he started picking the stuff back up. Well, God, I can take that one. You know, I've got that. I'll put that back in here. But we need to lay it all on God. That's what he wants. He wants us to give him all of our battle, not just part of it. He don't want just the planning part of it and let us do the action. He wants all of it. When we wait on him, look what happens when we wait on him. Verse 24 says, "And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness," I like this, "they looked into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and no one escaped." So as they walked up there and they looked out, all they saw was a sea of dead bodies laid everywhere. Nothing was left. "And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off their remnants more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil." It was so much. So when we let God fight the battle, look at the spoils of the victory. Said there were 3 days that they were gathering up the armor and the jewels and everything that the army that was coming against them. So everything that the devil's got against you, God's going to use for you. They were able to take all that stuff. It was theirs then, and there were 3 days it took them to gather up the blessings of the battle that God had just fought for them. So we go back down to verse number 29. "And the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of the countries, and they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about." I don't know what kind of battles that we might be in right now. I don't know what kind of battle that you're in, but the victory is God's. It's already his. He's already fought that battle. And when I think about that and think about this story, I thought about the story of Gideon, how that he goes into battle with nothing but clay pots, lanterns, and God gives him that victory with only 300 men. So why would we think that any battles that we face, God can't handle? Let me ask you these four questions right here. When we're in those battles, who do you trust? Are you trusting in yourself, or are you trusting in God? The next one would be, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself that big mighty person that can handle that? Or do you see yourself as helpless? Like in verse number, let me flip back over there real quick. In verse number 12, it says, "For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither do we know what to do." So how do you see yourself in the battle that you're in? What do you do when you're in that crisis? Do you just go and sit down somewhere and sulk and stick your lip out and pout a little bit, or do you begin to praise God because you know that you're his and he's going to fight that battle for you? What are you going to do? And who are you going to let do the fighting? Are you going to let God do it? And then the last thing before, if Mom will come on over toward the piano, I think Ashley's coming around. If you're facing troubles today, admit that you're helpless in what's going on. Admit it, because we are. We're helpless to fight against the devil. We're helpless to fight against the things that are going on. Admit you're helpless. Stop complaining about it. You know those people that like to complain because they're in a situation. Stop complaining and try praising God for a little bit and see what happens. And then the last thing is what he says there in the verse number 17. He says, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." So I'm going to tell you, admit you're helpless. Start praising. Let God fight, because we don't have to do it and we can't do it. And he's going to take care of us. You know, he can set up an ambush that will defeat your enemies that you can't even think about. He can help the helpless. He can deliver you in ways that we can't even imagine. I mean, come on,
He put a baby in a manger that ended up being the Savior of the world.
Amen.
So God can take care of us. If there's something on your heart this morning, if you're here this morning and you're fighting a battle and you just don't know how to bend. When Ashley said that song this morning about there's never time, she said, "Do you know it?" I said, "Oh yeah, I know it." And that's you need to sing that today, because there's not been a time that God, there's never a time God's not been faithful. Stand with us this morning if there's anything on your heart.